Morning Papers Waltz by Johann Strauss Jr.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, broadcasting out of Henry Ford Community College, and thank you for tuning in on this beautiful classical day. You know, if you'd like to learn more about the exciting happenings of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, well, I've got some news for you. Mark your calendar for Friday, November 14th. It's the next performance of the 2008-2009 season of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, and this performance is entitled Heroic Journeys. It will be wonderful, I guarantee it. Again, Friday, November 14th, next performance of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. And don't forget that free half-hour pre-concert talk by your host, Jim Walters, offering a fascinating insight into the evening's music. It's a great package. It's a reasonable opportunity to see this gem of an organization in our own backyard. For details or for tickets, contact the box office 313-565-2424. That's 565-2424.
. 1765 was a good year for Wolfgang Mozart. Every day there are concerts, and the whole time is given up to teaching, music, composing, and so forth.
This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I am your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Chris Hagee, and she is an energy work facilitator. Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Good morning, Mike. Thank you. I'm fine. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. We'll see by the end of the show if you still feel that way. It's up in the air anyway. Well, today we are going to talk about energy. Now, you're an energy facilitator. What exactly is that?
It is a practice, and it is something that is a pairing of empathy, intuitive, and our kinesthetic feeling, our tactile sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for a little over 15 years. And I definitely say it's a practice because that's exactly what it is. It began with a basic understanding or subset of learning and principles, and that has been growing and evolving over the years as I've been doing my work.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started doing this?
Well, actually, it's a funny story. It was a game. The game was, I learned this, I don't even know where it was that I learned this. You hold a string on a pencil, and if you suspend that over a male, you are supposed to get a certain movement, and if you suspend it over a female, you get another movement. Well, I didn't have a pencil at handy. I had a little jingle bell. I think it was Christmas at the time. And I just thought, okay, this sounds fun. I'll do it. And when I suspended this, I got an entire world of movement and pattern. I couldn't believe what I was picking up. I had no idea what it was, but I knew that it was something rather than nothing. And so I started suspending that over everybody and everything. I had two rosemary plants. They each had a different flow pattern. I just started picking up energy flow. And at the time, I had no idea what it was, but I knew it was something.
Mm-hmm. So you just kept developing that over years, or what happened?
Correct. And it took me about a year. I had a notebook, and I would write down all of these patterns, and I no longer do that because I know that we're always constantly evolving. Our flow is always changing, and the things that we tune into and focus on are always going to be changing because it's an ever-evolving journey. But I was writing things down. I was trying to make sense out of it because I'm a very analytical person, really. I started out in the business world as far away from metaphysics as you could possibly get. It took me a year to figure out that this was a pendulum, and it took me even longer to figure out that I wasn't using it the proper way. I wasn't asking questions versus yes and no and getting answers. I was allowing the person or the item, the energy, to speak for itself. And so I was just a conduit picking that up, decoding it, and it was coming out through the pendulum in terms of energy flow.
Mm-hmm. So eventually when you learn, you could ask questions. You can ask such things as what might be happening to you in the future or what's going on in your life currently?
You know, when I first started, I didn't do a lot of that. And now I know that really there is no way to predict the future concretely because we're always changing depending on what choices we make today. Right now is always where we're at, and what choices we do determines where we move and out picture to later. But I started by taking stones, for instance, and I would take 5 stones and put them in a circle together and then put my pendulum over that, and I found that I was picking up the flow of those stones interacting with each other. Like Stonehenge. You know, we see Stonehenge, we see places of power like that,
mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what is going on. You have an interaction between anything in proximity like that. You have, you know, the interaction between the stones at Stonehenge and the earth. The earth is special there to start with, and then you intensify, you magnify that energy by placing minerals, stones there. And the way that they've placed them, and you see that there's an altar there too, and I'm not sure exactly where it is, but that also is the place where there's a focus coming together from all of the stones and from the earth. And they were probably doing incredible things with that area that we don't know how to do today.
Right. So you're constantly learning new things?
Constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant, you know, our whole lives are a constant exploration and journey.
Right. So your concept is that everything is made of energy somehow?
Yep. We're all layers and layers of energy. We're a galaxy of energy and flow. We are nothing if not in relationship. And I don't know who said that, but I totally agree with it, because we are, we wouldn't know who we were if we didn't compare ourselves to who we were interacting with, to how our organs are interacting with each other. We know ourselves through our flow relationships, through our energy flow. We don't think about it that much. In fact, we hardly think about it at all, but That I have found that is the 95-5 rule,
mm-hmm.
which is that 5%, and scientists say this today, 5% of the universe is, you know, what we see in the universe is only 5%, and then the 95% is invisible.
Mm-hmm. And you feel that's true?
Oh, absolutely. I see that all the time. That's what my work is based on.
Mm-hmm.
How do we I don't know exactly what I'm picking up all the time. Sometimes I do. But I know that it's part of that 95%, and, you know, how do we start to tune into that? That's the lifetime journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, of terms with working with energy, mm-hmm. what are some of the things you do with energy in helping clients?
Well, let's go back to the stones. If you take 5 stones and you put them around in the circle and you read the energy flow of those stones interacting with each other, there's no difference between taking stones and then taking people and putting them in a circle. Now you're talking about a family dynamic. And I've learned, my practice has you know, evolved, where I've learned how to read the interrelationships, the flows between family members, between anything at all. So that's part of what my work is. And I've also taken flow work and made it into body work. I call it kinesthetic body work, but kinesthetic is one of the 3 main styles that we learn, of course, visual and auditory being the other 2. And this is allowing the flow patterns of the body to present themselves to us. And so I do one-on-one trainings with this. I do workshops. I do small classes. And it's training us to tune into that 95%.
So that's supposed to help the person get along in life?
Absolutely. And what it does is it help us tune into our subconscious? Yes, I think it does that. Does it help us tune into our emotional layer, our intellectual layer, into any of the layers that really feel like they need to speak, that we're already emanating a great deal outwards, always. So it's about learning how to pick that up, how to soothe it, how to work with our subconscious to process better, more smoothly. It helps people relax. Sometimes after one session, they'll say, wow, I can't believe how relaxed I am, because, you know, I've had this inner tension built up for years, decades.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that I felt it was released.
So if somebody's really stressed out or whatever, you help them with that?
Yes. And what I like to do more than actually doing personal facilitation is empower them and teach them how to do it. That is really, whether I'm doing phone and remote consults or whether I'm doing body work sessions, I want to empower people to do this for themselves, to say, okay, it's all right for me to tune into these invisible layers. It's okay for me to pick up something, not know exactly what it is, but still run with it and go with the flow of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, according to some of the information on your website, you like the people to actually help themselves, help heal themselves, because that's very important as well.
Of course. You know, that's really what we're here for. We're here for our own journey.
So again, being a facilitator, you are just that. You get people started along the path, and then you step back and let other people help, I guess,
themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I never call myself a healer, because that's not what I am. Because nobody heals somebody. We heal ourselves. What I do is I hold space for them. I give them encouragement. I give them confidence. And I hold space for them, loving space, so that they can feel they can do this. And people will run with that. If you hold space for them, they'll run with it. I see this every day.
Now, if a person is in great pain, do they come to you as well?
They may. You know, I've helped. I think that there's an interesting amount of emotional energy involved in a lot of in physical pain. I see that often, where if we work on the emotional layers, if we work on the intellectual layers that are locked, that are feeling, that are challenged, physical pain will dissolve.
So I guess anybody is able to heal themselves. Now, again, if they really are in pain, you do suggest they go see a doctor or something?
Absolutely. I work hand in hand with the medical field. That is how I look at it. We all have our specialties. And I encourage everybody to have a protocol. And a protocol means that you take from each area that you can, and you put it all together to create a package for yourself. So that definitely includes medical attention of the very of the usual kind. It might include craniosacral work, which is another form of light body work, and then energy work can be part of that. Herbalism, vitamins, food, everything is very important.
Do you use hypnosis at all?
I don't.
No?
I have not, but I think that that could be a very valuable part of a protocol, sure.
I just want to remind everybody right now that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. The name of this show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today my special guest is Chris Hagee, and she is a energy work facilitator. Right now I want to know, are you psychic? Would you consider yourself psychic at all?
People tell me I'm psychic.
Okay.
I wouldn't say, I don't like to claim the word psychic because I don't tune in that way.
So you don't predict world events?
No.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl or something like that?
And my clients always say, well, tell me what's going to happen when I go on my job meeting, or tell me what's going to happen when I do this. And what I will do for them is look at the flows, and I will say, well, it shows a very positive, forward, open flow for you with this activity. That's about as far as I'll go.
Right.
If it doesn't show a nice open flow, I will help them get themselves into a better flow with that.
Right. But basically, you try to be upbeat and positive?
Always.
So if you get a negative flow of energy from somebody, do you try to correct that?
Well, when you say negative flow of energy from somebody, what?
Well, I just mean, again, if somebody is really, I don't know, depressed or under a lot of stress, they might be sending out negative vibrations. Do you help change those at all? Is that possible?
Well, it's what you focus on. So yes, I'll help them learn to focus on certain areas, such as their mental body. And we will work on the flows relating to their mental body. I will help them work with their main chakra sometimes. I'll work with whatever it is that comes up to my awareness, to our awareness, because whatever, and every time that we work, it will be different. But the point is that if there are challenged flows, we will work on turning those around. And everybody, absolutely everybody, can do that.
Right. So you work with a person's chakra centers as well?
Yes.
Is that for everybody or just certain people?
It depends on how long I'm working with them. It will usually come up at one or more sessions, yes.
Right. But you don't do anything like massage or anything like that, do you?
Well, I do body work.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean exactly?
Well, the body work that I do and then I teach is subtle energy body work. So It is allowing the flow patterns to present themselves to us. Only we're going to do that while we are tuned in and looking at the body. We may, and a lot of times I call this hands-off work instead of hands-on work, simply because we start out with our hands off of the body, where that 95% might be, we might be more inclined to pick that up. And we see where we feel moved or drawn to be. That could be at the head, it could be at the feet, it could be at the torso area. So it's all about being very 100% based on intuitive, empathy, and then our kinesthetic sense of picking up tactile feeling, of feeling things. And we can feel a whole lot more than we imagine. Sometimes if there's a knot of emotional energy sitting, say, off on our forearm, and we run our hands lightly down there, we'll feel the airspace there as being tingly, or we might feel it as being cold or hot. We can feel any number of things, but it's a very tactile feeling, although it's subtle.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well, that's so pretty much what I was going to tell you.
Okay.
Pump it.
Well, I just was curious. Do you work with people as far as, I know people learn better using sight or hearing.
Right.
Do you try to find out how they learn best and work with them from that direction?
I do get intuition on how best to help people help themselves, yes, and I will work with that. And there are plenty of people who are much more visual than they are auditory, and vice versa.
Right.
And there are people who are olfactory learners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not one of the three main learning styles that we recognize, but I definitely recognize it. We learn a lot through our sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And I will...
Is that just like an animal then? Is that it? A dog or something?
Well, you know, our sense of smell was the first... it's the only sense that we have that's directly coming from the outside and hardwired to our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has to go through our brain and be decoded. The sense of smell does not. We pick it up through breathing in, and it goes directly to our brain. So it's a very primitive sense. And you know, so if you say animal, I guess maybe, but primitive and powerful. We you know, the sense of smell, the sense, you know, we smell cinnamon and it evokes certain memories, but we can use that very constructively. We can go to the store and we can buy some parsley if we don't grow it in our yard, and we can crush a little and smell it at certain times of the day. And it can heal things for us. It can open doorways. It can open flow pathways up for us.
Right.
You know, that's where aromatherapy comes from. That's why aromatherapy is so wonderful. And that is another part of a protocol that I encourage people to use. And I will, when I'm talking to them and working with them, pick up certain scents that I want them to look into or try. Or, you know, I'll say, oh, it's time. You might want to go get some bergamot.
What is that?
Bergamot is an essential oil of a bitter orange that's grown in Italy. And a lot of times it is very useful for solar plexus work, for rebalancing in terms of ego. It can be useful for codependencies, but it has a very interesting effect just, you know, to smell it, what it does to your entire system. And the point is that if you pick the right scent in the right moment and you smell it, it will heal you.
Well, that's an interesting point. I didn't realize, but you're right, that that is a basic thing that people are born with right away. We have that ability.
Right.
And I noticed that you have cinnamon Altoids, too. Is cinnamon something big with you? Or
no.
That now?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. It's just that my son stole my spearmint Altoids.
Oh. Oh, I see.
You know, okay. You have those teenage sons, and they come home, and they take everything, and then
that's
they leave.
They just help themselves, huh?
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. See you later.
Yeah, right. And they're out the door. Okay.
And do you, and by the way, do you have a $10 bill?
Yeah, right.
That you don't need?
Right, yeah. Very important right there.
Exactly.
Now, you do work with children as well. I know on your website you made an interesting point about children reflect their parents. They mirror their parents. Is that true?
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said it all. That really is, to put it in a nutshell, to work with that and talk about the details is a little more, it would be a little more difficult. But I do find that a lot of times a parent, if a child is outwardly hyper, mm-hmm. the parent is inwardly hyper. And they just don't realize it, or they don't want to face it, or they don't want to, you know, they're in denial a little bit about that. And when they find those parts of themselves that are, has inner tension, and they work on releasing that, their kids calm down too.
Mm-hmm. So, do parents bring their children to you saying that we're not getting along, and you work with the parent and child?
I will sometimes do that, but it's always an intuitive or an empathic call for me. And sometimes I will say, no, I want to work with just you, the adult, first. Mm-hmm. And what I often see is that that will, through osmosis, magically calm the child down, help the child physically.
Right. So if you start with the adult, again, they will pass that on to the child.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, we do that whether we realize it or not, in every way.
Right.
So often it's not necessary to work with the child directly, but sometimes I will. If there's an acute situation, I will hold some space for them, do a small remote, help them settle and rebalance, and then I will work with the parent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I guess in essence, that we mirror our spouse or significant other as well, to a certain degree anyway?
Energetically, I always see that we choose our spouse as well. We
okay.
choose them.
Okay. Okay. Is that personal experience there?
Well, okay. I have to say, I've been married for 21 wonderful years to a lovely man.
Okay.
And
I hope he's listening.
I hope he is too.
Okay.
But I do see that we pick our opposites in terms of we are always trying to find a balance. And mm-hmm. whether we subconsciously, we're definitely always doing this. We might or might not know it consciously, but if our strength, let's talk about main chakras for a second. If our main strength is root chakra, we will pick someone whose main strength might be third eye or crown, and we will come if that's part of our weakness. Opposites always attract to balance, and that is exactly how we pick at that deeper level. Why is that chemistry there?
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Right. So if you're with somebody and you don't understand them or why they're acting a certain way, you have to realize the fact that whatever it is, they are providing that which you don't have.
Exactly. It's always going from strength. And when we come together as a married couple or just as a couple, whether you're married or not, a significant other, we are always holding strength for each other and also teaching, making bridges mm-hmm. for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. And
right.
it can be frustrating because those are the areas that we don't work at so well.
Right.
So, of course, we feel like they're irritating us.
Mm-hmm.
It's only natural. That's perfectly natural. But keeping in mind that they're bringing up items or facets of our personality or self that we need to work on is the best way to go, because it will deflate us from feeling irritated with them, and it will also help us to work on building that bridge and work on healing the core issues that we're feeling irritated by them for.
Mm-hmm.
It's never about someone else. It's always about us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was
always.
I thought it was the other guy always.
Oh yeah.
No.
We all do. We all want to think that way,
right.
But in fact, it's really all about us.
Right. So it's useless to blame others. In other words,
it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it a little bit because you know that's who we are. But getting down to business at some point is always advisable.
Right. So you just have to look at yourself in the mirror and see what's wrong with you first, before you can blame others, is that
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I do see that we marry usually to balance ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you think that's a healthy thing?
Well, it is if we work with it.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't if we allow the irritation to overcome our sense of inner healing, and then the dailiness of it can get to us.
Right. But you feel that at times confrontation can be healthy when you discuss it in an adult manner?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Don't let
things
fester.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. You know, the thing about confrontation is that everybody thinks about it as being this high-powered, yelling, or even violent status, when actually confrontation simply means two people that have different beliefs. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be violently forceful or passionate about what they're feeling is different. Just means that they have each had a different subset of lifestyle experiences, and they are coming together to hopefully build a bridge. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what a confrontation could be. Usually, and in my family, when I was growing up, that's not what a confrontation was. A confrontation was a big yelling match.
Right.
And I ran away, you know, which is what we are taught to do. Run
right.
away. It's scary stuff, those mm-hmm. confrontations.
Right.
So what I try to do with my clients is talk to them and tell them about how it's going to build a bridge. It's there for us to build a bridge, for us to find an answer within.
Right. But to keep stuffing it down inside you and not addressing that, you feel that's harmful in the long run?
Oh, in the long run, as we stuff and stuff and stuff, we will eventually come to a point where we can't stuff anymore, and then we will start to see this coming out physically, illnesses
right.
and mm-hmm. such. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Or it could be just negative behavior towards others as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I just once again want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Chris Hagee. She is an energy work facilitator, and we're talking about many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only do you work with humans, but you work with animals, plants, a lot of different things, correct?
Correct. Energy is energy. Flow mm-hmm. is flow. Flow locks are flow challenges, and everything can be worked with.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's all about going with the flow, in other words?
That's right.
Okay, very important. Now, I haven't read on your website that you work with seeds as far as plants, things
yep.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you?
Well, it can be interesting because if you, I am a master gardener too, and
okay.
I.
Do you have a degree to prove that or what?
I'm an advanced master gardener. I do have a degree.
Okay, well, good for you.
I have landscape training as well, university level.
Okay.
I've always loved the plant kingdom. That has always been one of my favorite places to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only natural for me to apply my energy work exploration to seeds and to plants, which I have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there are some seeds, such as basil seeds, that are very easy to germinate. You just put them into the soil, water them, and they come up in 4 days. But there are other seeds that need they have complex dances around when they will actually be triggered to germinate. And I found early on with energy work that I could put them in my hand sometimes, work on their energy, watch them as they are getting turned on and
mm-hmm.
triggered.
Right.
And I would be able to see when they were triggered. Then I would plant them and they would come up as in normal seeds. And I've done this, you know, over the last 10 years quite a few times and found that it does actually work.
Mm-hmm.
So am I changing their genetics? I don't know what I'm doing. But I am,
right.
I am somehow helping them to open up and triggering them to germinate.
Mm-hmm. But it goes against common wisdom sometimes, some of the things you do, correct?
Oh, everything that I do goes against common
really?
Wisdom, Mike. I work with people in Australia. I work with people in Europe. I work with many people around the country. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not touching them physically. I am, but they feel it. They feel
right.
it at their end. They feel less pain. They feel calmer. They feel like they're moving forward.
Uh-huh. So you work with people in Australia?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do they find out about you?
Through my website.
Okay.
Yeah. The internet is a great thing.
That is. I mean, that is nice. You know, we here at WHFR, we're a very small station, but we can be heard worldwide as well on the web. So it's a great
oh.
thing. So when you work with people on the phone, how do you help them that way?
Well, I'm doing the same thing that I do at any other time. I'm looking at their energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
We, in fact, I find that without the visual cues sometimes, we can use our kinesthetics, our sense of feeling, a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
We can be more focused, and focus is really where it's at. It's what it's how it's your intention when you focus. So you have to have a loving intention. You have to be open to the fact that you want to build bridges, that you want to move forward. And then holding that intention, it's what you focus on specifically. So that can be done much easier sometimes when you're not looking at visual cues, because we're trained when we're in person to look for body clues. We're trained to look and to listen
mm-hmm.
More than we are to feel.
Right. So that might be a better thing?
It actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How much phone work do you do?
Phone work is probably about 50% of my work.
Mm-hmm.
And then body work is the other half, and I, you know, I enjoy each.
Okay.
There are clients that I do both for, and the timing of when you do one versus the other is always intuitive calls. You know, timing is everything, and tuning into the moment and how what we should be doing in that moment, that's everything.
Well, when first you got contacted by people in Australia, did that kind of freak you out?
No.
No?
No.
You expected that, right?
Well, I don't know if I expect it, but, you know, people in England, Scotland, you know.
Right, you just never know.
English-speaking countries.
Okay.
I will say that.
Yeah.
I've only had one contact, I think, from China, but that didn't last long because, but, you know, if it was somebody in Japan, it was because they were likely an American implant there, you know, there and an expatriate, so.
Right.
I enjoy hearing from people all over the world.
Well, it's interesting that you would think that phone work wouldn't be that effective as doing it in conjunction with a person live, you know, right next to you.
But again, it's all about feeling and focusing on the feeling and really being able to, it's all energy flow. It's that 95% rule. You know, this is not something that physics really has a handle on. But that doesn't mean that it's not working.
Right. Now, you work with animals as well?
I do work with animals. I find that most of my practice is really revolving around people. Right now, especially, but yes, absolutely. And I've worked with my dog Sam, who had allergies, and he was gearing up to have, he's a chocolate lab, and he was gearing up after age 2 to have very major allergies, actually. Up until that time, we hadn't seen anything in him. And so the first few years, I decided to play it the right way, the normal societal way, and I took him to vets, and I took him to allergy vets and specialized vets, and really the only thing they could do was, you know, give me prednisolone for him, which I don't know if you know what that is.
No,
but
I don't.
Anybody that has a dog who has allergies knows what that is, because it's a steroid that blocks the histamine reaction and dries things out. But that is very harsh. A very harsh type of drug, and I didn't want to put him on that. So finally, after he was about 6 or 7 years old, I decided that I would just do what I knew best, which is energy work. And he's improved so much ever since I started doing that and trusting my own work. In fact, this year, his allergy season runs from the end of August through October. He's had nothing, no problems this year whatsoever. Last year, he had very little problem, and the year before, he had minor amount of problem. Every year better. This year, practically nothing. So
that's a good thing, right?
It's excellent. It's excellent.
Do you work with all types of animals?
I have not worked with too many other types. It's mostly been dogs. I have worked with horses. Horses I find to be, and I've worked with horses remotely, where I was, they were in England and I was here, and the owners would take a look at them, and they were telling me, they said, wow, I can't believe it. He's actually moving better. They were physically seeing their horses able to run with more comfort, deeper strides, you know, whatever it is that they use, and the way that they stand, they were noticing that their hacks were together more. You know, all the measurements that one would use to see whether a horse was standing better and more balanced were coming together. So it's interesting.
Generally speaking, is there a set number of sessions, I guess, or a set amount of time that you actually work with a person, or is it just an individual thing?
Yeah, it's an individual thing. But if you have an acute problem or something that you really need to have help with, I would, you know, I usually recommend a set of 3 consults in a quick succession within a 1 month period.
That usually works best?
Yeah.
So
they're synergistic. They build on each other.
Right. Does anybody come back just for a tune-up, so to speak, ever so often?
Yes, people do come back just for tune-ups. Yes.
Well, now, eventually, though, you hope that they can do more of it on their own. Is that what you try to teach them?
Oh, and they do. Yeah. Some of my longstanding clients, they are so much more empowered. And if you ask them, they said they were close to death, but now they feel as though they can move in the world. They feel as though they are able to operate and be normal. And, you know, for them, that's huge.
You mean in a literal sense they were close to death?
They thought so.
They were that depressed?
They were that frazzled. Their energy was that unbalanced. They were that ungrounded. And really what I try to do is bring grounding first. because with grounding, then you can start thinking. Mm-hmm. And then working on empowerment, always working on how can you do this yourself? Are you tuning into this? Do you feel this? And they will. Mm-hmm. So as time goes by, you know, we'll work on one facet for them, and they'll say, okay, now I feel energy flow tingling at my feet, and now I feel it moving up my calves, and I'll be feeling this at my end too, because I'm focused on them, so I'm feeling the flows they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And as time goes by, I find that they're really accurate at feeling what flows are happening, moving up, moving down, opening up.
Mm-hmm. So it's always working from the inside out, would you say?
Yes, I think that would be accurate.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to external stimuli?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, according to your website, you had a thing going on during the summer, which was called Intuitive Fun at Rain Tree Park in Troy, Michigan.
Right.
And it sounds like fun. That's where you got together in this park.
Right.
And what was that about?
Well, it was just kinesthetic body work, and I just wanted to do this as a community service. And so everybody that showed up on those dates learned the basics of kinesthetic body work and how easy it is.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a good turnout?
Oh, I got a fair turnout, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, in August, everybody's on vacation, too.
Right. Well, that's part of it.
But it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And I'm probably going to do it again next summer.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Did you get any clients out of that? I mean, somebody that keeps coming to see you?
Well, I wasn't pulling to get clients, and I told them specifically, I said, this is about my community sharing, and I enjoy doing this. I do not, you know, it's not anything you need to feel, you need to reciprocate back. So I had a couple people become clients after that, but that wasn't my intention.
Right, right. You were just doing it to help people in general. And
to turn them on. I love to turn people on to...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I like to turn people on in my garden. You know, we'll walk through my yard, and I grow plants that I grow a lot of edible plants. I do herbs, and I'll pick a day lily petal, and I'll say, here, try this, and they'll look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna eat this flower. And I said, well, it's organic.
Really?
By the way, I need to mention the caveat is, if you're not growing organically, don't eat anything in your yard.
Okay.
So you have to be absolutely positively organic.
Right.
And then there are many flowers that are edible, and people will try and they'll say, wow, it tastes good. It tastes like, have you had any daylily petals, Mike?
No, I certainly haven't. And I'm not planning to. No, I've had enough cheeseburgers and stuff, but I know that doesn't count.
No.
But that's interesting. I never really thought of flowers as being edible. Of course they are, but again, stay away from the fertilizer, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pesticides and the chemical fertilizers. Obviously, organic fertilizers are fine.
Right, right, right.
And I can put on my website, if anybody's interested, a list of organic fertilizers and where in our area to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let everybody know, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Chris Hagee. She is a energy work facilitator. Now, getting back to the flowers, do you have, like, I don't know, salads out of flowers, anything like that?
Well, the daylilies don't usually make it that far.
Oh, okay.
Usually they eat the petals. And, you know, I'll walk around my yard and whatever catches my fancy, y'all. But, yeah, borage.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, does your husband and children eat this too?
Oh, yes, he's learned.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's learned.
He's learned. Oh, he's learned a lot. Actually, my husband likes nature. He likes our yard. He likes all of the things that I bring to it.
Right.
I'm more of a go with the flow gardener.
Uh-huh.
And so that means that when weeds show up, I actually think about whether they fit there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't just go in and weed everything, I only take out what I feel should be composted.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I'll be leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I enjoy making tea out of things like plantain, which if you saw it, you would definitely know what it was, and you'd say, oh, that's that weed I see everywhere.
Really?
Well, it's a fabulous herbalistic plant, and it really is a great tonifying tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I will pick a little bit of this. I'll go out to my yard and pick a little few weed petals and a few leaves of regular herbs like sage, and put them all together and come out with a tea that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I don't really like tea either, but no, that's good to know. What the heck? So, I guess, do you eat just organic type stuff? I would imagine you don't eat meat. Is that it?
I do actually eat a little meat. I was raised on meat and potatoes, which probably all of us were raised on in a certain age group. And we have definitely gotten away from that to a great degree. Mm-hmm. But I do find that I like a little bit of protein in that way. Mm-hmm. But I eat so much less protein of animal type than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a full-fledged vegetarian or a vegan.
Okay. Well, that's good, I guess.
Is that good?
Well, I don't know.
You're a hamburger eater,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So you feel more comfortable
right.
with me.
No, I'm a meat and potatoes type guy myself.
Are you?
Definitely, yes. So I think it's interesting, though, what just, I guess, guided you to start eating plants? Did something say something to you that
start? What guided me to that? I've always been interested in plants, and living in Chicago, of course, the rule was if it didn't come from a store, you don't eat it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how I was raised. I had no clue there was another way, really. I knew there were farms out there, but I didn't know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid growing up, if it didn't come from a store, we just weren't going to have it.
Right.
So I remember getting this book on wildflower. I wanted to learn the wildflowers, and they were talking about the edible aspects of dandelions. I thought, well, I have dandelions in my lawn. And so this was 35 years ago. And I went out there and I thought, okay, I'm going to make dandelion fritters. And I did. And I thought, wow, this is actually pretty good. And not only that, but there was a certain something inside of me, part of that 95%,
right.
that said, this is wonderful. And you have been waiting for this all of your life. This is something that's healed something within you.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it was just, you know, I started running and doing, you know, all kinds of other herbs and the ones that are normal, like basil and sage, and the ones that are not so normal, like plantain, and it's in lemon balm.
Mm-hmm. So you try to exercise as well, and
I do a little exercise. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Everything.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you if you meditate as well.
Well, I think the body work that I do is like moving meditation, because you and a lot of the work that I do is like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in a, you know, there's the different brainwave states, and you need to be in a theta or an alpha state in order to actually pick up the subtleties, in order to receive. So when we pray, we say we're talking to God, and when we meditate, we're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that you're in that receival state, it's like meditation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean by that. Now, when somebody comes to you, what do you do first? Do you try to quiet yourself? How do you get ready for every session that you work with the client?
Well, it's interesting because I listen to them. I do a lot of listening. And I'm not only listening to what they say, because I have an intake form that I fill out for them. I'm getting a feel for where they really are and what they really are asking for. Because a lot of times what people think they're asking for consciously has a lot more depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
So intuitively and empathically, I am listening to them as well as with my ears. So I do a lot of that first, because I think that's the most important step in helping anybody help themselves, is hearing where they're really at.
Right. Well, I think that's one thing people don't do a lot of, is listen.
Right.
Actually listen to a person and find out where they are at.
And you know, that can be very healing in and of itself, just to feel as though you were truly heard.
Right. Well, that's very important to a lot of people that,
yes.
again, you don't really think about, but that does help people, like you said, just getting it off their chest, so to speak.
Exactly. But I also call what I do counseling or life coaching with a kick, because while they're getting this off of their chest, they might be coming up with an experience that was from childhood that was terribly traumatic for them. I'm also doing energy work to help release that for them from spirit, mind, layers that, you know, in my way.
Mm-hmm.
And what they will feel is like they really got that off of their chest.
Mm-hmm.
They will really feel like they release that.
Right. Well, I guess that's a great first step, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with vitamins at all?
I will help them pick supplements. I'll get guided through my intuitive, again, my empathy. So I wouldn't call it psychicness, but I call it my intuitive empathy, because we all have this. And I will say, have you had your vitamin D tested? and I'll send them, I'll say, you know, I really strongly recommend that you go get your blood work and have your D tested to see whether you are too low in D. And I've had clients come back and say, yes, I'm very low, and they told me I have this, you know, and the doctors didn't know that until I mentioned it to them.
Mm-hmm. So it can be revealing as well.
Yes.
As beneficial.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you take vitamins yourself?
I do. I take supplements of various types. I don't take them religiously. I'm not, you know, I like to work with foods, but I do recognize that that's not going to be enough, especially with today's soil depletion in terms of minerals and vitamins. So I do take some. The things that I take are taken when I feel like it is the right day, it's the right moment. So I don't take anything by rote. I don't have an actual practice where I take this every single day.
Right.
And I've taught that to my sons, too. So when they open up the cabinet and they might say, oh, I don't really feel like I need a multivitamin today. Mm-hmm. And they won't take one. Mm-hmm. They'll say, you know, I really feel like I need my vitamin D. And they'll take that. Or they will say, I don't feel like I need anything today. I feel like it would be bad for me. My body would have a hard time working with it. Who knows why? But that's what I feel. It's valid, and they close the cabinet door, and they don't take anything.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's intuitive, right?
It's all intuitive, but it's also empathic.
Mm-hmm.
It's your inner wisdom. We all have this inner wisdom, and we need only tune into it.
Mm-hmm. So your sons have the same things that you do as far as being able to gather intuitive messages?
They do. They actually are quite intuitive, quite empathic. They're not into crystals. They're not into any of the formats that I use. But that's fine, because this is about being who you are, empathic and intuitive in your own way.
Right. So they don't think mom's a little weird, do they?
No.
No? Well, that's good. Because, you know, sometimes kids will think different things if it's not something they really agree with, or maybe their peers look on it as something weird or whatever. But it's good that they don't think that.
They don't run around saying, oh, I'm empathic all the time.
Right.
But I
okay.
do catch them every day doing things that they're doing through their intuitive, that they're doing because they're empathic, and because I've told them all of their lives, it's okay to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be flamingly intuitive and say, oh, I'm a psychic.
Right.
But you can use that to better your life. And that is exactly what our intuitive and our empathic is here for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like to think I'm a practical, down-to-earth person, and that is really what I taught them.
Mm-hmm.
Use your intuitive like you use your logic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two are supposed to be combined.
Mm-hmm.
One should not be there in the absence of the other, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So you tell your clients the same thing?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll look at that for them, because they'll realize they've been repressing their intuitive all of their life based on how they were raised, based on what their parents told them was acceptable, or not even what they told them was acceptable, but what they picked up and felt from them as being acceptable or unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
That actually rules a lot of how we are.
Right. Again, it gets back to the parents mirror what they want the children to know or appreciate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, from the time my boys were born, I was very open to them using their intuitive and being intuitive. And that was a valid part of how we pick up information in our lives and work with our life.
Mm-hmm. What about the rest of your family? Do they accept what you do?
I think it's probably, no, I think they think that it's interesting.
Uh-huh.
I think they don't understand it as much.
Right, but they don't really ridicule you
for it? No.
Well, that's good.
Well, it's good work. It
yeah.
helps people. It's, you know,
right.
it's constructive.
Right, that's a positive.
Yeah.
And speaking of positives, I just want to remind you that you're listening to WHFR.FM, Station Making Waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest is Chris Hagee this month, and she is an energy work facilitator. Now, generally speaking, do you use dreams at all in helping clients?
You know, they'll tell me their dreams, and sometimes I will intuitively think about what it means for them, and we'll work on the flows related to that. But no, I don't really do dream analysis, typically.
Well, about yourself, do you get dreams about certain clients on how to help them, perhaps?
I don't.
No?
Actually, I don't dream. Dream world is not my world. I do a lot of my subconscious work totally awake.
Mm-hmm.
That is what energy flow work is about. And I have found that since I started doing that, I really don't do a lot of dream work. Mm-hmm.
Now, when a client comes to you, have you ever felt overwhelmed, perhaps with they're so bad off that it's hard to work with them?
Well, I'm always up front with them, and I tell them that this is something they would do in association with an entire protocol, and one of those needs to be medical care in the way that we know it too.
Mm-hmm.
And they know this.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them what I can do for them and what I cannot do for them. A lot of times people say, oh, help me, I know you can do everything, you can do this. No, actually the miracles come from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be ready and open to creating that miracle. And if that is true, then facilitation work, such as what I do, can help bring that out, mm-hmm. can help bring that to the surface, mm-hmm. so that they can feel it. But if they're not ready for that, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. So you don't claim to cure cancer
no,
or anything like that?
No,
right?
Nothing mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have I seen miracles? Absolutely. But mm-hmm. again, the miracles always come from us because we are the healer,
mm-hmm.
and I am only a facilitator.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do after you work with the client? Do you have to take some time out to kind of wind down yourself and relax?
I actually find sessions to be very energizing.
Really?
Yeah. It's like I've pulled the energy of the universe and, oh, I get really energetic. And as I roll along, if I'm doing body work, you know, I'm pulling the energy, the universe of the energy or something. But it's very energizing for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel overwhelmed sometimes if you just, I don't know, sense a type of world negativity going on? Do you ever get that type of impression? Maybe things going
on? I will
on?
Sometimes sense things going on, and I will sense that there's an inner tension, there's a tension, and there's a higher anxiety level, I think I would say,
mm-hmm.
for humanity at large. And mm-hmm. I will pick that up, yes. But mm-hmm. what I do is I stop and I send some prayer energy out, and I work on things flow-wise in the ways that I know how.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're all called to do. If we feel that, whatever ways we're comfortable giving and sharing and building bridges, that's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that you're accomplishing your life's mission doing what you do right now?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
So you feel that you're on the path? This is something that you plan to do for the rest of your life, I take
right.
it?
Right. I certainly didn't plan to do it. Mm-hmm. When I was in grade school thinking about what it was I was going to do for a living, I was going to be in the business school. I was actually going to be a corporate honcho. I was going to be in the Fortune 500. I was reading the Wall Street Journal when I was 14 years old.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was very much, my parents were business people,
mm-hmm.
and that's the environment I knew.
Right.
I had no clue about, and I was raised Catholic, a very structured, narrow world. We ate everything from stores. So I had no intention of either. I had no idea that this existed. I
mm-hmm.
fell into it, like I said, playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know. I was so excited that night I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that that was where my life was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And taking it from using a pendulum to where I can help whole family unit groups together come together more cohesively.
Mm-hmm.
And taking it into kinesthetic body work, where I can help people relax section parts of themselves they have never relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fulfilling.
Right. So it falls under their heading that there are no accidents in life, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's no coincidence.
Mm-hmm. So you tell your clients that as well?
Yes. There's only timing.
Mm-hmm. Again, it goes with flow, hand in hand with flow, timing and flow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Timing is all about flow.
Mm-hmm. Does that fall into the 95% where you don't see that or what?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of things fall into that 95%.
Mm-hmm. That's a great catch-all, is that it?
Yeah.
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 Now, do you have an extensive library? Have you trained yourself for the most part?
I have read enormously on a variety mm-hmm. of subjects. I believe in all the other types of techniques that are there. There's some wonderful, wonderful body work, Traeger, craniosacral. We're now really understanding that less can be more.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how hard you touch your body, how much you push, and you know my kinesthetic body work. Of course, you might not touch your body much, but you're working on a world inside. But yes, I have read up. I've read everything from Rudolf Steiner. To Michio Kucho on macrobiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So a broad range, and I am always learning,
mm-hmm.
always reading.
Would you say you're basically self-taught in regards to working with energy?
Yes, I would. There's no one that looks at energy flow in the way that I do it. So it had to be that way. And we're all unique. And I always encourage my clients to find their unique way, their unique way of doing everything. And again, some people are more visual, and they're going to use more of a visualization biofeedback. And I will work with them on that. But yes, I would say that this was very much self-taught, with a lot of help from a lot of people in books and workshops.
Well, again, you just let your intuition take you and lead you to the proper material that you needed to learn?
Correct.
That's mostly intuitive training, then, would you say?
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, you like to think so, anyway.
Yeah, I would like to think so. I think so. Our inner wisdom knows.
Right.
So if we tune into that, if we allow ourselves to feel where we need to go and what we need to do and read, we'll get those opportunities. The opportunities present themselves.
So you just try to be open to whatever may be out there, and if it speaks to you, you just follow that up?
Absolutely.
Now, how can people get in touch with you as far as your website or if you have any classes going on?
I am going to actually start offering some kinesthetic bodywork classes beginning in January, and at one location so far, and hopefully several locations. So what you'd want to do is tune into my website, and I will post details about it there. The website is earthalchemy.com. And also you could call me at my office, which is 248-643-4755. To find out more information.
So during the classes, what do you teach in them?
Well, the classes are going to be more like workshops. Some of them are going to be 2 hours in length, and some of them are actually going to be more like 4 hours in length. What we'll be doing is running through how you allow the flow patterns to speak to you while you're tuned into your body, and also we will work with partners. So you will be tuning into each other. There's various things that you need to keep in mind, and we'll run through all of them, all the steps of, there's five basic steps of how to start with body work, this body work, which is first relax the mind, and then relax the body. We would run through all of the exercises that will help do that. Getting our brain waves into either the alpha or even the theta state so that we are in a receive mode, very important. You can't pick up subtleties unless you are in that receive mode. Considering our body positioning, which we will do some of sitting on the floor, in chair, lying down, and also standing, which works better with two people. But each of those positions will yield different flow patterns that will present themselves. And so, you know, basically, we'll work with all of that. We'll work with all the positions. We'll work on... how do you approach an area in physical pain? For instance, say your shoulder's hurting. Do you, you know, our natural inclination is to put our hand on our shoulder and or soothe it somehow by putting our hand near our shoulder. And with this type of work, what you would be learning is to tune into perhaps your stomach area instead and your knee. Why? Because those are silent partners in flow involved in the fact that your shoulder is hurting. And it's really interesting in when I'm teaching people to feel them, you know, they'll it's a total surprise to say, oh, you want me to put my hands here on my stomach area about a foot away in the ear. And then as we're doing that, about a minute later, they'll say, oh, you know, the pain in my shoulder is going away. And it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't make logical sense, but it is perfect in terms of that 95%, the intuitive, the empathic, the kinesthetic, the feel of it, how it feels. It feels right.
Right. So again, that's in conjunction maybe with their chakra centers, that type of stuff?
Could be. Absolutely. It could be. I don't, you know, not necessarily. It doesn't. And again, the thing is we have to tell our brains when they can work and when they can't. So logically, if we're always trying to find an answer of why, what, we need to turn that off when we're doing this body work. Because that will limit us in what we will be able to pick up. So that's what the bodywork seminars are all about, teaching us to tune into that 95%.
Okay, well, Chris, thank you very much for being here. It wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it was lovely. I enjoyed talking to you.
Yes, we managed to get by, right?
Yes,
okay.
We did.
Well, once again, thank you very much for coming by, and have a great day.
Thank you.
do want to remind everybody one last time that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You've been listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest was Chris Hagee. I do appreciate the fact she was able to come in and do the show. Very interesting. I do, once again, appreciate that she could do this. And be sure to come back next month on the 20th of December. We'll have another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day. We'll be right back.